Morning.
Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, it's so good. It is so good. I could read it over and over and over. And I just get more and more blessed as I continue to read it. I keep looking at the verse under study for today, and then I look at the verse before it, and it's so good. I look at the verse before that, and then I look at the one before that, and the one before that, and I end up on verse 1. And then I'm tempted to look at the chapter before that and the chapter. You always go right back to Genesis 1:1, and you just love it all, don't you? Right through Revelation 22:21. This wonderful word of God. A lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We are living in a dark world. A world that is under the influence of Satan. And Jesus said to Paul, you're going to turn people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto the power of God. Aren't you glad you're living under the influence, under the power of God today, instead of under the influence and under of the world and under the power of Satan today? Oh, we're saved, we're delivered, we're free. We are the free ones. They say we're in bondage. Oh, how foolish of them. They are in bondage. We are free today. Amen. So how far back should I go? Well, how about verse 7? We're way down in the 20s, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come. To do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Listen to this. By the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Only one man ever did the will of God. Only one man ever completely satisfied the will of God, and that man was Jesus. And just think, verse 10 says, by that will, the will that he performed, the will that he did perfectly, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I'll tell you, that thrills me today. Just to think that he did the will of God and I received the blessings of his obedience. Oh, that is tremendous. That is absolutely fantastic. He kept the will of God. He kept the word of God. He lived the perfect life, and I reaped the blessings because he gave that holy life for me, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, we're talking about a special man today. We're talking about a different man. We're talking about a new man. Hallelujah. We're talking about the second man. We're talking about the last Adam. Praise the Lord. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth expecting. Oh, it's going to come to pass. Just like a pregnant woman knows she's going to have a baby, Jesus Christ is sitting up there on the right hand of God, the Bible says. He's expecting. Hallelujah. He is pregnant with expectation. From henceforth expecting. Folks, just as sure as a woman who is pregnant is going to have a child, more surely we should say, Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign one day. And if we're faithful, we are going to rule and reign with him. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Go back to verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by one offering, verse 14 says, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Oh, see there? The Holy Ghost is a witness to us. Whoops, let's read on. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, see, here's the witness, The Scripture, the Holy Scripture, the God-breathed, God-inspired Scripture is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. And he's quoting from Jeremiah 31. Saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Why should we go around with a guilty conscience when Calvary cleared our consciences? Praise the Lord. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You can hold fast the profession of your faith because he that promised is faithful. He will not let you down. You are not hanging on to a cable that's going to break. Oh no. You're not standing on a building that's going to crumble. You're not crossing a bridge that's going to collapse. Never. He says here, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Lay hold on eternal life, Paul said. Grasp it. Keep it with a grip that's firm. He is faithful that promised. He will not let you down. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And I want to publicly express my appreciation to you for being here Sunday after Sunday. I said it last night at the prayer meeting. I know pastors who have told my wife and I, this will come back to her mind right now, some southern pastors that we sat and ate with one time that told us about their particular church. And they said that their attendance goes down from, I think it was 450 to 150 in the summertime, all summer long, because I don't have it with me. I read something, a modern paraphrasal of the 23rd Psalm. My house trailer will follow me all the days of the summer and so on. And they go out weekends to the lakes and there they have their wonderful fellowship with God. The Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When churches go from 400 to 200 or 450 to 150 all summer long because the people are out on the lakes all summer, there is something wrong with those people's religion. Really. So I publicly want to express my appreciation to you for being here so faithfully in church. Do you know what's happened to this church? Our attendance has gone up since last winter. Summer came, and I weep when summer comes because I know what a drag it is on churches and how the devil tempts people and how they're out there just satisfying their flesh and neglecting public worship in the house of God. What a testimony to a world that's looking for reality. They're not going to find it in those kind of people. So thank God for you. I appreciate you not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Our attendance is up. In fact, it's higher than it's been since you know when. Praise the Lord. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Connection. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. No sin shall go unpunished. No sin shall go unpunished. All sin shall be judged according to the word of God. All unbelief is sin. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we find out someday that unbelief is the worst of all sins. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Would you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 17? Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 2 through verse 7. Verses 2 through verse 7. Deuteronomy 17:2. If there be found among you within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. Did you hear that? That's what God said. And shalt stone them with stones till they die. At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. The verse says in Hebrews 10:28, he that despised Moses' law, and we just read about somebody who despised Moses' law, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now back up to Deuteronomy chapter 13. And let's read verses 1 through 11. He said here, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Excuse me, without mercy. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 11. Deuteronomy 13, 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, even if he prophesies and his prophecy comes true. Even if he does a miracle before your eyes, if he says, serve other gods, you don't do it. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. Look out for people that dream and people that prophesy. Discern, judge the prophecy. Speaking of judging prophecies, that's what the Bible says. All may judge, but let those others sit by. Or all may prophesy, but let the others judge. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false doctrines are blowing around everywhere. And we need to be careful. But there is the true, remember, too. And we're responsible to discern that. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know, like the man we just heard about the other day who said he had a dream that President Reagan was Antichrist. He called into the Marlon Maddox program. Point of view. Called in and said he had a dream. And Marlon Maddox wisely answered him. I didn't hear this. I only heard about it from one of you. Marlon Maddox wisely answered him and said, and what was that brown weed you were smoking before you dreamed? Hallucinations or whatever. But see, I appreciated that. When somebody comes along and says something, we're not obligated to believe every dream somebody has or every prophecy somebody utters, we're not obligated to believe. We're obligated to believe the Word of God.
Amen.
And I've gone into that in detail at length, and I love to talk about it for our protection. The Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to you or spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is in thine own, is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Verse 8, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him. Our text says, Hebrews 10:28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Neither shall thine eye pity him. In other words, stone him mercilessly. Now, my point is, or the writer of Hebrews' point is, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses of how much sorer punishment. Now that proves several things to me. That proves that there is a judgment day coming. That proves that there will be punishment and that there will be degrees of punishment. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, I'm going to go to hell and be with my friends. I won't be alone down there. I had one man say, why, you might even be with me down there. Oh, they talk boldly. I've heard young people and I've heard old men talk that way. I heard an old man, it was one of the saddest things I had ever heard in my life. An old man who was getting ready to die, you might say. I don't know if he ever did really get ready, but they think they're ready when they have their cemetery lots picked out and paid for. Now I'm ready to die. Their will made out and signed. Now I'm ready to die. No, I wouldn't say that's being prepared for eternity, would you? But anyway, this man, he mocked as my wife and I sang and testified before his family. And he was there, of course. But he mocked and he said, I want to go to hell and be with my friends. I'd be lonely in heaven. All my friends are going to hell. But you know something? I read in the Bible where there are degrees of punishment. He that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin or the greater damnation. It's not going to be just one lake, one compartment like a lot of people think in their minds, and we're all going to be there and he's going to suffer just as much as I did. It doesn't sound that way according to the scriptures to me. And now listen to this. And some people also say, boy, I'm sure glad I'm under the New Testament. I mean, I'm talking about Christ rejecting people or even backsliders. Well, I'm sure glad I'm under the New Testament instead of under the old. You would do well, brother, if you have done despite to the spirit of grace and trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith you were sanctified an unholy thing. You would be lucky to be under the Old Testament. You would be lucky to be stoned without mercy under the Old Testament, because the writer here says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, and we read about that from Deuteronomy 17 and 13. Neither shall thine eye pity him. Sounds like a bloody, painful, horrible death. But then verse 29 says, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I'll tell you, it sounds to me like the scripture is saying it's a whole lot better not to get saved at all than to get saved and turn back. The latter end of them is worse than the beginning. Yes, Lord, help us. Help us to provoke one another daily unto good works, unto love and to good works, so that we don't ever have any backsliders among us that die in a backslidden condition. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has lost faith, you might say, in the Son of God and his work on Calvary. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God. We could study each one of these items individually. Who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. The writer of Hebrews is not given to wild exaggeration when he uses language like this. He chooses his words with his customary care, and he said, he that despised Moses' law and died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Do we get the point? Grace, the gospel, is a message that is so much greater than the old covenant message that the punishment necessarily for rejection has to be so much greater than the punishment under the Old Testament. The New Testament message is so far superior to the Old Testament message that the punishment has to be so much greater for rejecting the New Testament than it is for rejecting the Old. That's what he's saying. How much sorer punishment? Why sorer punishment? Because a greater message rejected demands greater punishment. The greater the crime, the greater the punishment. And oh my, what a time to talk about Jesus, his holiness, his holy life, his holy being, the just one, the holy one, his precious holy blood. And then, considering what men are doing when they spit on him and do not repent, doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. That word despite means insult. 1796 in Strong's Concordance Dictionary, Greek. Despite means to insult. The Spirit convicts us of sin. Do we dare do despite to the Spirit of grace and not heed that conviction? Dare we insult or despise it? Verse 30. For we know him that hath said, we know him. We know him. We know him personally by experience, and we know him by reading the book of his story, history, the Bible. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. Now, he's saying more there than just, don't take vengeance yourself, leave it in my hands, I'll do that for you. That's true. But he's saying more than that here. He is saying, I will avenge myself of mine enemies. That's what he's saying here. I will take vengeance. That's what he's saying here. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense. That comes from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. And the word, the Lord shall judge his people, is the next verse. Deuteronomy 32, 36. So the writer of Hebrews is quoting from the scripture. He's quoting from the book of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 35 and 36. And then Psalm 135, verse 14 says, for the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. The Lord will judge his people. We always hear that God is a God of love, and that is absolutely true. But there's another side to God. Just like you have heads and tails on a quarter, or a nickel, or a dime, or a penny, we flip the coin and we say, heads or tails, I win, you lose, so on, so forth. Listen, some people say, oh, God's a God of love. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't send anybody to hell. Have anybody else ever heard that? Am I alone? Many of you have heard that statement by people who don't know God, really. He says here, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. So just in case you have heard, or you know somebody that's thinking, oh, God wouldn't do that, I'd like to give you some answers this morning. Yes, he is a God of love, but this God of love loves righteousness. He's also a God of hatred. He hates iniquity. And when it's an amazing thing. I was just talking to a brother last night after prayer meeting. It's just an amazing thing what happens to people when they get saved. What sins, social sins in our society that did not bother us before we got saved, when this man sitting over here got saved, all of a sudden, that was an offense to him. That was an offense to God. All of a sudden, it became black instead of grayish, you know. It was, I'm putting words to it, you know, brother, for explanation, but you know what I mean. All of a sudden, this unmarried cohabitation situation is an ugly thing in my eyes. You know what happens? We receive him. And when we receive him, we start to become like him. And when we begin to become like him, we hate iniquity and we love righteousness. That is a proof that we have received him. That's what the Bible says. He that loveth is born of God. You have to put all that together. John wrote that in 1 John. But anyway, we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So, in case anybody's thinking, or you know somebody that's thinking, God wouldn't do that, let's clear it up by the record right now. God is a God of love. He loves righteousness. God is a God of hatred. He hates iniquity. The Word of God settles that. Okay? Now, we know him. He's the one that sent the flood in the days of Noah, when the earth was full of violence and wicknedness. He's the one that rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah when they were practicing what? Lesbianism, homosexuality, demanding their rights, as it were. We know him. He already flooded the world with water. He already sent fire and brimstone from heaven. We know him. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed the world. Should we read 2 Peter? 2 Peter. We're reading about somebody we know and we know about. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. What did we just read here? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Does that sound like Peter's writing about that? False prophets, maybe discouraging church attendance. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Oh my, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him. Those are sobering words. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Oh, you don't really have to get baptized in Jesus' name. After all, the greatest world evangelists today are preaching the gospel, and thousands are raising their hands and walking the sawdust trail and standing there and saying the sinner's prayer, and nothing at all is said about baptism. Leave baptism out of this gospel because it's controversial. Listen, the Bible says, Jesus said it, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. But the way of truth is evil spoken of today. There are all kinds of schemes the devil is using on us to try to get us to follow something else, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I don't care if it boils down to one, and I'm that one. I gotta be that one. You feel the same way, I hope. I'll walk alone with this glorious gospel message if everyone abandons it. Praise the Lord. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. Now here you have it. He loves righteousness and hates iniquity. That ought to make you and I, that ought to cause you and I, that ought to motivate you and I to seek after righteousness. Praise the Lord. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they'll get it. They shall be filled. We've got to hunger and thirst after it. If God spared not the angels that sinned, that's what he did. We know him. We know him. We have his spirit. We have his word. We've had an experience with him. We know him personally. We believe his word. We know him. He didn't spare the angels that sinned. He hates iniquity. He didn't spare those sinning angels. He cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. We know him that spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. See, he loves righteousness. Noah preached righteousness. He hates iniquity. He destroyed the world. People tell you God's a God of love, and he wouldn't destroy a wicked sinner. He wouldn't destroy a wicked world. We know him. Don't tell me he won't do it. He's already done it. And he's ready to do it again and again, as often as needs be. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. We know him that turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample. We have ensamples or examples this morning of what this God that we know will do. Don't you think for one minute, don't let any of us think for one hour that these people that are living in sin are going to enter into heaven. Oh no. God is going to judge it. We know him. He will take vengeance. He will judge the world. He already has sent a flood. He already did rain fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. He already did cast down to hell the angels that sin, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should, that after should live ungodly. Thank God you got the Holy Ghost today. Thank God you've been baptized in the holy name of Jesus of Nazareth, our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. Warning. Don't fellowship. Now, I don't mean don't witness to. I don't mean don't have sinners over to your house for a Bible study. I don't mean don't go to sinners' houses and give them a Bible study. I'm talking about don't go to movies and don't go to dances and don't do worldly things with worldly people. Amen?
Amen.
Do spiritual things and let them come to your God. Don't let them turn you to their God, because the punishment will be greater than what happened to the Israelites who were turned to other gods. It'll be greater. Of how much sorer punishment. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. 16 and 17. Revelation 6, 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the love of God, and from the wrath of the Lamb, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I don't think, personally, and I think you'll agree with me, that the punishing judgment of God is inconsistent with the doctrine of the love of God. I don't think that at all. I think you have a situation like David faced when he had a flock of sheep to tend, and a wolf came out of the woods, and a bear came out of the woods. David didn't say, I have the reputation of being love. David is love, and he wouldn't hurt a lion or a lamb. Therefore, because I love the lion and the lamb, I must let them do as they please. And so the lion and the lamb come in, and they don't spare the flock, and they start killing David's lambs. David is love. He can't hurt the lion. He can't hurt the bear. I said lamb, I'm sorry. The lion and the bear. Oh, I'm love. I can't hurt them. David didn't have any second thoughts about it when he saw that bear come out of the woods, when he saw that lion come out of the woods. The bear snarled and David snarled back. Oh, yeah, you want to make something of it? You let that lamb go. You're not hurting one of my little flock. And he attacked the lion, and he ripped his mouth apart, and he loosed the lamb, and he got angrier yet and smoked the lion. The punishing judgment of God is not inconsistent with the doctrine of the love of God. Amen. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
It is not inconsistent with the love of God. God is acting perfectly within the realm of his love when he destroys a world and saves a Noah and his family. And when he saves a Lot, righteous Lot, mind you, and destroys a Sodom and Gomorrah. And when he leaves holy angels in heaven and casts out sinning angels, he is not acting inconsistent with his love. Hallelujah. And when God takes you and me to heaven and refuses entrance to sinners who will contaminate heaven, that's very consistent with his love. The secret is, he loves you so much that he will not allow heaven to be contaminated with unrepentant sinners. Praise God. I love this doctrine, and we're out of time. Can we stand and praise Him this morning for His love, for His goodness, for His truth, for His word? Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank You today for the gospel, the pure, the holy gospel, the word of God, the pure, the holy word of God.